Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. This is Apostle Donnie Floyd, and I am coming to you from Georgia this time. Last time I was sitting in Ocala, Florida. I just pulled up to the Hampton Inn, right out exit 250. And, you know, it's an enjoyment for me to be here tonight. Circumstances are different. And so, but before we get started, I want to go into a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, O God. Father, we appreciate you. Lord, we glorify you. There is none like you in all of the earth, not even beyond earth, Father, but in whatever other atmosphere or stratosphere that there may be, there is no God like you. Father, it's your presence, O Lord, that we need tonight. God, it's your presence, Father, because many things have transpired, O God. This cycle of death continues to happen where leaders are leaving here, Father. So, God, we need you tonight, O Lord. Let your presence, O God, begin and end this process tonight. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, beloved, it is September and the 14th, and who would think that or thought that in this manner we would be this close to the end of the year, this far into this year. From where we sit last year, we were losing thousands of people a day. Folks were dying from the initial strand of COVID-19, and it seems as though we would have thought this time, this year, that we would be further along in dealing with this. And so as we discover that we're not, last week when this show was initiating and we were getting ready to start it, I was on 75. South in the state of Florida, getting ready to exit off of 75, exit 350, and we were pulling up in front of the Hampton Inn. God had allowed me to endure some things, and I was preparing to have surgery the next day, and so I really didn't know what I was going to talk about until right before we started the exit. God spoke to me about something, and so we began to dive off into that for a short period of time. The thing that God spoke to me about was, if you were listening last week, was about spiritual gifts being your guide or your compass, you know, in you navigating the very thing that God has given us to do, that gift, whether it be the gift of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, that God was using that gift to navigate, orchestrate your life, dealing with the various people that you would run into, and that diversity of people be there so God could perfect the gift in you and point people towards him. I hope you all follow me here tonight. The book Making of the Leader is about, the chapter 3 is about the spiritual gifts. And I'm just speaking to the Lord today. God had sent me into a direction, and I could have went into the book. I have copies of it, but God would not allow me to do that. And so I never fret, never get concerned about things when the Lord speaks to me. I just have to follow his instructions. And the very thing that God spoke to me about, again, the spiritual gifts and the governmental gifts, and that's just a broad topic because we have the five that I mentioned, but if you go into Romans chapter 12, verse 68, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, 28 to 30, and obviously we got the initial five out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse number 11. But if you go into the others, you find the administration, the gift of administration, the gift of healing, the gift of discernment, exhortation, the gift of faith, interpretation, the gift of knowledge, wisdom, leadership, the gift of mercy, miracles, gift of tongues, and the gift of service, right? And so all of these gifts are tools that God individually uses or collectively together to orchestrate a symphonic system. And that this poetic or symphonic system is used that it may draw people towards. Now, he needs people in order for these gifts to be operational. Some people think of these gifts as titles that they would use before their name. And that doesn't bring power to the gift, though. I really want to address something in specific, but I have to give you a little backdrop. And so these gifts have been built by God, constructed by God, empowered by God, and as God uses these gifts, it is up to us to magnify the gift for the sole purpose of the Lord and not for ourselves. If we are using the gift and trying to point people to Jesus through us, if we orchestrate the gift, then it's about us being God. If God orchestrates the gift, it's always going to be about him. And so one thing we must understand is that God is jealous, and he's jealous of his own people. He's jealous of his own time, and he's jealous of the folk that he's trying to draw, and especially if he's using you to draw them, and you're pointing the purpose of the gift at yourself. Whew. You know, it is indicative now as we collectively look at what God is using the gifts for. We see people. We hear folks explaining them. We hear folks trying to orchestrate them. We hear folks using them. We hear or see people being attracted to them. And the interesting thing is how the gift attracts people, and the user of the gift sees these folks being attracted, and often think that the attraction is them. And so that's a falsity, and you know, we want to deal with that in the perspective of saying, not trying to destroy anyone, but we have to refocus the navigational system. If y'all just bear with me here for a minute. Because last week, we just briefly, for 30 minutes, discussed these gifts as being the tool that God uses to help you navigate the world. And there are moments in time where we have put our hands on the mechanics of the gift and tried to use it for our own benefit. And in that case, it has to be refocused. And sometimes if you have a navigational system that is not working properly, you have to take it in, and it's time for a service. I hope you all can follow me here. But uniquely now, even after it's been serviced,
the gift must now be restored or returned back to God by you making the decision to take your hands off of it. You know, very, very important and very instrumental that we understand that all of these gifts are spiritual gifts. I have to elaborate that. All of these gifts are spiritual gifts, whether it be the gift of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. These are spiritual gifts. Whether we talk about administration, healing, discernment, or exhortation, these are spiritual gifts. Whether you deal with faith, interpretation, knowledge, wisdom, leadership, these are spiritual gifts. Whether we talk about mercy, miracles, tongues, or service, yet regardless of it, or the aptitude of each gift, the depth of it, the breadth of the gift, they are still spiritual gifts. Now, I have to go a little bit further in just breaking this down just a little bit more. Not only are they spiritual gifts, but these gifts are given without any form of repentance. You know, so I want to kill the religious thoughts that one has, that you have to walk on water, you have to move mountains, you have to calm the seas in order to be fitted to use one of these. Well, the truth is one of these gifts rests and resides with you. There is no difference in the gift of one that loves God and the one that doesn't. Because, again, these gifts come without repentance. Now, that's an interesting statement because it begins to really dig down into the breadth of what, you know, I am to discuss. And I want to do it simplistically now. I don't want to make it difficult. And we are going to read scripture behind this. I just don't want to talk to you. And I'm giving you a baseline of Romans chapter number 12, verse 6 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 8 through 10, verses 28 through 30. And so you can read those, and it's really going to tell you about those gifts. But the most important one now that I want to dive into first is goes into the book of Ephesians. There's an interesting take here and something that we should look at because I want to use the scripture in context, if that's all right with you all. I want to be sure that I am using this in context because I don't want to be guilty of using this scripture out of context. And so in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11, I want you to see something here. And it starts off by saying this, you know, if you could. It says, and this is the King James Version. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul is speaking of himself. He has written a letter to the church in Ephesus, or this group of people, this small group of people that is in the city of Ephesus, and this is called the Ephesian church, or the Ephesian ecclesia. And so he says, I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Verse number 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And verse number 4. There is one body and one Spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Verse number 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse number 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, if he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, verse number 9, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Verse number 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up for above all heaven, that he might fill all things. Now, this is where we get the gifts. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so I'm going to read a little bit more, because I don't want to leave this out, till we all come into the unity of the faith, verse number 13, and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried among with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of men and cunning craft whereby they lied to wait to deceive. You stop right there. So these gifts now has a specific assignment. And them being spiritual, neither myself or any living being can direct the gift to be in a particular person. We have not received that authority to direct the gift. However, we have a gift that God has given us. And so this is what is written now, not my version of it. This is what is written. And verse number 7 says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. I want y'all to read that. And so now he did this for the august body of believers, or the ecclesia, what we call the church, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And it says, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So this reading in Ephesians chapter number 4 is an indication of a few things. Number one, that Christ is the gift giver. I want you all to grab a hold of that now. Christ is the gift giver. He did not give titles. He gave gifts. And the interesting piece in these gifts is that as the gift giver, you know, that was Ephesians chapter 11. If you could, we're going to go to Romans 12. You know, the gift giver, Jesus Christ himself, gives five governmental gifts. And in these five, therefore, the edifying of the body of Christ, right? And it's to help us not be children serving him, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, of cunningness, of craftiness, where men lie in wait to deceive you. I really want you to hear this tonight. So Paul speaks to the Ephesian church in the nature of saying that these here are the gifts that God has given us. And they're going to help us navigate these treacherous waters because we have those that have been sent here in this very time to deceive you. And now some have gotten so good at this that they give themselves the name apostle. They love the name prophet. They deal with the name evangelist, but you know the idea of being a pastor and a teacher. So, if you listen to me closely, I'm driving the fact that Christ is the gift giver. Why is this so important? Because no man can control a gift given by God. No man can control a gift given by God. Now, that's interesting. That means that there's a gift that we have not mentioned, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And believe that not all of these gifts come from one individual, one spirit, and all of them are the same self-spirit. That even though we're talking about them and how God uses these gifts or has given us these gifts that we have navigate the water that we are treading in, it's also to attract people to Christ. So hear me now. If you can't control the gift, but yet the gift is in you, to get the full operation of the gift, you have to put yourself in God's hands. I want you to hear me now. So you can be a prophet and not be in God's hands and be a false prophet. You can be an evangelist and not be in God's hands and be a wicked one. So as an apostle, so can a pastor and a teacher. I'm going to quote something from a woman that I have a high level of respect for. And she was intricately involved in my upbringing, who I am as a man. And she just happens to be my big mom. For you all that know who she is, for those that don't know, her name is, you know, it's affectionately Carrie Alexander. And some that knew her as Pastor Alexander. Some knew her as Big Mama, and that was her grandchildren. Her children called her Mama, you know. But since I was one of the grandchildren, the oldest grandson that she had, I called her Big Mama. And Big Mama was probably 5'2", and I might be giving her a couple of inches. She wasn't very tall. But her knowledge of God, not just of the Bible, but her knowledge that God had given her was a spiritual gift. Because the gift of knowledge comes from the Lord. Wisdom comes from God. Leadership comes from God. Miracles, tongues, the ability to serve comes from God. The healing power is a gift that can be given to you, and it comes from God. And I'm driving a point here now, but I'm using the word of God to back me up. She once told me, and she said it very clearly, some of you are maybe getting ready to know or maybe anticipating what I'm getting ready to say, but she once said to me that never become successful at something that God never told you to do, meaning don't spend your time and your resources perfecting or wanting to be something that God hasn't given you permission to do. And now, and then she carries on and she says, for if you do, you leave the very thing that God has asked of you to do undone. Now imagine that if God has given you the gift of an evangelist and you want to be a pastor. Could you perfect the pastoral gift and leave the work traveling around the world, the people that the gift that God put in you was to touch? Can you lay your gift to rest to do something you think you ought to do? I just, I'm going somewhere now. I ain't not there yet. I'll be there shortly. Can you pick up the mantle of an evangelist and travel around the world when God has given you the gift of a pastor? I'm going to go a little bit further, because some of these gifts show up in you, but it seems to be that the only gift that we're concerned about is the pastor, the teacher, evangelist, prophets, and the apostles. But you can have multiple gifts now. But can you be disgruntled with exhortation and want the gift of leadership? Is it possible now for you to look over the very essence of the gift that God has given you? Because your eyes naturally are set on what you think someone else is doing. Now, in this case, you have turned the navigational system of the gift that God has given you off, because you're not pleased with the direction that God is leading you. For some reason, you think you know more than God. Now I'm not trying to get on anybody. I want you to turn the windshield wipers on and push the button and let some windshield wiper fluid hit it so it can clear your lens a little. It might look a little messy now because there are bugs out here, but if it could just clear the lens a little bit, I promise you, that if you turn your gift back over to God, he's going to navigate. He's going to use that gift to navigate these troubling waters that you see coming. The gift now. Is it possible for you to be so into what you think is your place in God that you have turn God down, not completely off, turn him down to the point where you're listening now only to yourself? I had the distinct pleasure of coming home from Florida after having surgery. And a very, very, very dear friend of mine had witnessed how I did business. And I'm going to tell you all, I would cut people off in a heartbeat when it comes to business. I mean, I cut them off because I don't deal with foolishness, you know. And I had started to really display that the fact that if I don't like you, I'm not going to do business with you. I just did. And so this very, very good friend of mine asked me to listen to a message and by Bishop Jakes, Velvet Glove. You all can take an opportunity to listen to him. I've heard it 3 times in the last 2 days. And he talks about, in the book of Judges, Deborah and Jael. And if you're a biblical reader, you know Jael ended the war by stabbing or nailing a tent peg in the temple of Saracen and killing him, which ended the war. But now, the essence of what he was getting to was you would look for a woman like Deborah to pull such a stunt off. But Deborah wasn't in the position that the enemy could come close and be destroyed, because it was known that she was hunting these people down. They had jumped off the chariots and began to flee. And so Saracens runs to a group of people that was supposed to be in cahoots or able to give him shelter. And Dale welcomed him into her tent. He asked for something to drink. She gave him some milk. And as he drunk the milk, he laid down and she covered him. And then she drove a spike to his head. He thought he was in a place of comfort. Now, the message to me was not to be such of an iron fist when you can operate like Velvet Glove. Why am I telling you this? It became important for my discernment to kick in, to listen to someone tell me that I had begun to show my selfishness, or and I can't use a better term, my selfishness. And me being selfish, cutting people off and really driving the nail in folks' head was they saw themselves coming to the chopping block when they dealt with me. Because I didn't want to deal with the foolishness that they brought to the table in the type of business that I'm involved with. But, you know, the Lord used my friend to check myself. Because where I used this business to make money, he was using the gift in me to attract people. And it wasn't the love or the endearing part of me that dealt with them on a consistent basis. If you did what I want you to do, we can get this deal done, not the way I love you. But if you file this up, come to the table with some foolishness, I rip his head off. But it was God now that had to deal with me about that attitude, where some that may be listening to this may think I'm crazy. You know, you're supposed to deal with them that way if they come to the table with foolishness. But I had to determine now, are they coming to the table to do business, or is God bringing them to the table so they could see him for their own? Because now I had to really reconcile the fact that how I was responding and the gift was drawing them, my response to the people wasn't reflective of the gift. I hope I'm making sense to you. Where some people would come to me and they would talk biblical things and the excitement about these biblical things and able to decipher them and break them down to where they could chew on it and it could be good for them and where I wasn't using it for the benefit of myself. The other side of me is still the same man, but when it came down to doing business, if you did something wrong, I was ready to castrate you or get you out of my business. I ended up calling someone today that did something that I didn't think was cool with me a few days ago. And it was not him that did it, but she was actually operating and trying to get some questions answered. And she thought that I had talked to him like a child, and that was his response to me. And so I laughed, you know, why would you think that? Because all I asked you was for some pertinent information. But, you know, when he pushed the envelope, I just told him, lose my number. Don't call me no more. I don't even want to talk to you. And that was a sense of little arrogance. And so this gentleman, I had to call back. I got his number, and I called him a number of messages. And so he has responded. And so I apologize for my actions. You know, and he then wanted to tell me that, you know, the business that we're discussing is a difficult one and it's hard to cross the finish line. He trusted my knowledge in the business to get it there. Now, what's even crazier, I never one time mentioned that I was a minister of the gospel. Not one time. And in the end of that conversation, he says to me, you know, after I apologized and you know, I threw myself on the sword and said, if, you know, if you have any more people that want to come to the table and do business, I will surely do that. And, you know, he was grateful. He said, this is the man of God that I thought I was dealing with. He said, I'm ready now. Blew me away. Because God used a gift in me to attract some people that are wavering, that are have some character issues, people that may be chasing money. And I was walking around like Peter with a sword, ready to cut their ear off. But God used a friend of mine to stop me and make me see things not from an iron fist perspective, but with velvet gloves. Even using the gift, I had started to do things that wasn't conducive with the gift giver. And God had begun to grant me favor in this business above some things that people in this business could not even imagine or want to do. And he never took that away from me. But he has given me favor. And I got arrogant with that favor, with the gift that God has put inside of me of leadership, miracle, tongue, healing, faith, interpretation, the gift of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist. He's put multiple gifts in me, and that the gifts have been attractive and it has drawn people that are outside the realm of what we call the church. And I had to recognize something, that not only the person that my friend that took it upon themselves to share with me what they had saw, but I was about to be somebody that God never chose me to be. And I was perfecting that person. I hope I'm talking to somebody tonight. It wasn't God's will that I become this businessman that was rigid and that would cut people off when I do foolishness, hang up on the phone on people because they want to tell me their life story. I even planned to call back the person that got me on the phone and wanted to tell me about their children, their mother, and their. I just politely told them. I said, man, I did not get on this phone to listen to you tell me about your wife, your children. I don't want to know who's married to. I don't want to name your children. All I came on this phone to do business. And that was that dude that I had become. And to now know that the biggest attraction to these people wasn't my business acumen, because they're scared of me, and that's not good. Their attraction to me was of the gifts that God had put in me that would draw people. That's the interesting thing. How we are. When the gifts in us are working, and it doesn't mean it's going to attract good people. These gifts are going to attract the good, the bad, the ugly, and the indifferent. Who are we to become as we either change who we are on one side of the street, to be someone else on the other side of the street, is vital. And so the act of the book of the making of a leader has caused me to not look so much at others, but to stand in the mirror reflectively and see myself. I tried to imagine lifting myself up. Couldn't do it. I tried to imagine, you know, that process of me disconnecting from who I am and lifting, literally lifting myself up. I couldn't do it. Because I'm so tied to who I am, I can't disconnect from myself, because I am me with my faults, with my goodness, my badness. And so since I couldn't do it, God used a friend to show me, this is not who I'm asking you to be. Of all the spiritual gifts we have, we try to use them in a setting we call the church, and we make it more religious and spirit, you know, and religious than it is spiritual. I can't control the gifts that God has put in me. I had to be submissive to God. That's when he uses these gifts to draw people. They see him. And not the knucklehead. I'm still responsible. And so I want to use for tonight, before we go deep off into chapter 3, the making of a leader, is I listed over 20 gifts. I believe it's over 20. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher, administration, healing, discernment, exhortation, faith, interpretation, knowledge, wisdom, leadership, mercy, miracles, tongues, service. There are more. You know, I listed roughly about 20, if not over 20. And each one of these gifts has a different thing that happens when God uses them. It doesn't happen the same with every person. And so don't expect for man to explain a spiritual gift that comes from God. Man cannot explain the gifts. He can tell you or she can tell you how God used them in the gift, and sometimes can show you how they faulted in use of the gift. Because we have some that use the gifts for earning a living, for money. We have some that play upon the limited knowledge that people have, and they manipulate them into giving money. You know, so that doesn't mean that they don't have the gift because they used it wrongly. That just means they used it wrongly. So there's so many ways we can go wrong when we decide that we're orchestrating the gift. If we let the gift giver do the orchestrating, we can never go wrong. We can never go. I want to share something with you, you know, as I'm getting to my close, and you take the time to read Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 8 through 10, and 28 through 30, and Ephesians. If you could read the entire chapter in Romans 12, the entire chapter in 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians chapter 4, right? Just read them in its entirety so you can have a vivid picture of the gifts. There is one gift that I want to close and share something with you. It is a gift that has caused division in churches, between organizations and even in people, families, and belief systems, and that is speaking in tongues. I had the opportunity to listen to someone explain the gift of tongues or receiving the infilling of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. There's evidence of it. They say that you have to have this in order to be seen. And then we created this territorial position of speaking in tongues where we can speak it and at the drop of a hat. And so in listening to people give their explanations, definitions, exhortations, or theses on speaking in tongues, all of these are theoretical from the perspective of they're only speaking on their limited knowledge. There is no pattern that God has to give you the gift of speaking in tongues, right? That there is, as the Spirit of the Lord gives utterance, that just tells you that only God controls it. And sometimes it happens in the least expected moment because you can't control it. I can't control it. If God wants you to speak in that unknown tongue for an hour, every time you open your mouth, that's what's going to happen. When God controls it, it's a gift from the gift giver, but it's a spiritual gift. It's not the same if I give you a car, a telephone. You use that gift and protect the use of that gift as you maintain it. Home, that's different. Spiritual gifts cannot be controlled by a natural man. impossible. You can act like you sound that way, but the truth is, God is still the gift giver. Now, I want to draw your attention as I close tonight to the second to the last book in the New Testament biblical writing. It is the book of Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude. And in Ephesians, it tells you that the gifts are there to help you navigate. So he uses these gifts to help you navigate. Jude says this, you know, and I want you to hear what Jude says. And I'm going to read a portion of this, not all of it. We're going, you know, limited on time. Jude 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware, who were reformable or ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop it right there. If I could leave you with something, it would be, let God show you who ain't real. Doesn't mean you treat them bad, because these gifts are to help you navigate these waters for those people that were spoken of in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 11 down to 15. These ones that are there to receive you with cunningness, craftiness, to set a snare, a trap for you. Be careful now, because they have titles. They look like they're real. They sound like they're real. They even know how to be churchy like real folks, but they're not. I hope you all are hearing me tonight. I gave myself being for real about what goes on. And I want you to be prepared, because the gifts of discernment and interpretation, knowledge and wisdom are operational. But we can't control them. We have to turn ourselves over to the Lord so he can navigate the gifts as we go through these waters. And he uses these gifts to illuminate things that are in front of us, that we cannot see naturally within ourselves. Pray with me, dear heart, before we leave. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, again, Lord, without your presence, this was impossible. It's only possible, Lord, because you decided to control it. And God, I can't control the gifts that you gave me, but I can be responsible for my response as you use the gift to bring people to me that they may see you. You are the real attraction, Jesus, not me. Father, they are seeking you, not me. Help me, O God, be more like you, that when you bring these people, that when you use the gifts to attracting, that I embrace them, that I love on you, regardless of whether I'm preaching, teaching, or doing business. Father, just dealing with people in relationships or dealing with folks just to be ordinary people. Help me, oh God, be that man that you have designed me to be. Father, I'm grateful for the people that you have put in my life that are helping me see things. And God, that has humbled me that I can see your hand working with me. I love you, O Lord. Father, I praise you. God, be with the people that are losing loved ones again. This is happening over and over again. And we have not even begun to see the end of it. Because, God, you're not finished yet. And, Father, I want to be able to continue on, press forward. Help me do this safely. Help the people that I love safely. Oh, God, the folks that you have given around me safely, oh, Lord. I thank you, oh, God, for the gifts operational in these people. Your children, your loved ones, your call according to their purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, coming to the end of this broadcast, again, thank you all for praying for me. I was blessed to have Sister Kathy Owens, you know, down in Ocala, Florida with me. She really took care of me. You know, she kept me on the straight and narrow. She was ready to tell me about myself, too. You know, God prevailed. When I say God prevailed, he prevailed. And so I'm so grateful for your prayers and how you have kept me in my name before the Lord. I'm rehabbing, walking without the walker, 7 days tomorrow from surgery, and I don't have a walker. I had my right hip replaced. And so God has just been extremely good to me, and I want to share the grace of God, the fullness of his joy that he's allowed me to be a part of with you all. Amen. Well, until next Tuesday, God bless you all. We love you. May heaven smile upon you in Jesus' name. Amen.